You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Investors' Biggest Mistakes Number 2. Not budgeting for major capital expenses. But before we get started, hey, how are you guys doing? Man, I'll tell you know, we just don't get to talk enough here. And I know how it can be too, because I'm like a sort of a solo flyer here. So I know how it is when you're kind of doing it on your own and you don't always have the feedback that you want to have. I mean, there's a lot of people I interface with a lot during the week, but not anybody that really has a stake in my success necessarily. And that is why it's really important that we get a chance to connect with other people. And I'm hoping that maybe through this show, maybe through some of the suggestions we've given you in the past about, you know, how to network and connect with other real estate investors in your area. I think that's really key. I think it can be encouraging. I think, that having that kind of network, having people that, you know, that you can bounce ideas back is really important. I mean, number one is having a good mentor, but, you know, mentors sometimes are not as available all the time. But you can create a network of investors that can be a regular group for you that, you know, maybe start with a meetup group, or maybe you meet them at a local REI meeting. That's really a key thing. So if you are doing great, wow, keep going, man. Keep going. I'm encouraging you on. If you're struggling, don't worry. We all encounter that. And it'll pass. But, you know, it's persistence that pays in this business. So, just keep moving forward. Things will work out. And they do. Oh, wait, I have a tip of the week for you, too. Really simple one. Luxury vinyl planks. That's it. Okay. Next. Okay. No, it's just I have realized a real value in taking carpets and trashing them and never putting them back into a unit or a property, because having either wood floors, if you're really blessed to have natural wood floors, great. But if you don't, you do the vinyl planking, the luxury vinyl plank, or just the vinyl plank as we know it, you know, gives that wood-like appearance. Well, in turnovers, it is so much easier to take care of, even if there is damage. You know, people always say, well, what if somebody burns a hole in it or drills a hole in it? Hey, you pull the plank out, you replace it with another plank. Keep extras. In fact, if you have a lot of properties, you know, use the same, buy it in bulk. You know, you can even buy it directly from China or wherever it is. I know people that warehouse this stuff. And gosh, it's so much easier on a turnover, because cleaning carpets or replacing carpets, it happens too often, at least for my taste, to really want to continue with carpets. So every chance I get, I try to replace with the luxury vinyl plank, and it does actually make dollars and cents, right? And so just something to think about. Price it out, guys. Look at it. Look at your turnovers. Do the numbers. That's what it's all about here, right? Okay, good. Well, let's move into our topic, Investors' Biggest Mistakes Number 2. And if you missed Investors' Biggest Mistakes Number 1, it's not actually recorded yet. But it's okay, because you know, this is number two, and it's pretty important too. So this one is investors' biggest mistake number two, not budgeting for major capital expenses. We all know that owning a rental property can be a great way to bring in more income. Why else are we even listening to the show? Why am I recording this show? Because I believe this. But as a landlord, it's your responsibility to keep the property in good condition for your tenants. That means you'll need to learn how to effectively budget for repairs and improvements, large and small. And the larger repairs and improvements, like replacing a roof, can be sometimes harder to budget for than the smaller ones. So you got to factor them all in. Many of the repairs and improvements you'll need to make for your rental property will be unexpected. And you can't plan for things like a broken window or frozen pipes, but by budgeting properly, you can at least prevent getting stuck with a bill you can't afford. The key is to prepare yourself for unexpected repairs so that when they do come, you'll be financially ready to respond quickly, and you'll be able to take on the bigger repairs and improvements when they do occur. So I'm talking, you know, large and small. You know, sometimes you may have enormous plumbing bills, and part of it is because you've got just outdated plumbing that needs to be replaced at some point. But that, when you replace plumbing, that's a major capital expense. So the little fixes, the little unclogs and things of that nature are really within the repair and maintenance realm. So I'm kind of talking about both here. But here are some of the key ways that you can help to get better prepared for those big expenses, because they will, if you let them, they'll eat you alive. First off, understand your market. Before you even buy a rental property, you should ideally understand the challenges of the market you'll be operating in. By doing some market research, you can learn what expenses to expect in advance and how much you can expect to lay out for them each month. Is your area subject to severe weather, things like hailstorms, heavy rain or snow, flooding or tornadoes? What kind of damage can potentially occur? Now, the property I bought, the 22 unit in Indy, the entire roof was destroyed by a hailstorm and had to be replaced, the entire roof, because of the damage from that hailstorm. Now, fortunately, that was before I bought the property. But what if it happens again? Or what if, you know, would I be prepared if that kind of thing occurred? How you can find this information really is just you start by, you know, maybe talking to local property managers. Most will be happy to talk to you because they might, you know, they think you might want to hire them. But you can ask them information like, you know, expenses, utilities, repairs, maintenance costs in your area. What are sort of the standards that their experience has shown them? You can also ask other landlords, too, who have, in that area, who have similar rental properties that they take care of, or even call utility companies or the tax assessor's office to find out how much things like, you know, property taxes or what are heating or water costs for the property you've got your eye on. Look at seasonal variations. You know, one of the things that blew me away, again, I'm a Southern California guy here, is all of a sudden, you know, seeing things like your electrical, gas or heating, water, whatever, all of a sudden doubling in 1 month, going, whoa, I didn't know about that. Now, generally, when you buy a property, you know, you ask for T12s, you know, especially if it's a commercial property, and you'll be able to see, you know, you can track over at least the last 12 months what utility costs were, and that kind of gives you a clue. I've seen, like, I have a sewer bill. I don't even get a sewer bill in Southern California, but the sewer bill in Indiana, there's a point where that doubles, and you know, you just got to be able to budget and allow for that. And try not, you know, I mean, that's something you really try to avoid, you know, being surprised with. Also, planning for your CapEx. And a CapEx, of course, those are capital expenditures, the big ones, right? Like roofs and so forth. When you're first considering to purchase a property, you need to factor in into your analysis your profit projections, how the age of the property will factor into the repairs and maintenance projects, as well as CapEx. Everyone knows analyzing properties can be difficult, but after all, if you don't have the right math going into an investment, you'll never get the right profit coming out of it. And most of us can estimate expenses like repairs, vacancy, and property management fairly easily. But the one area nearly every new investor struggles with specifically is CapEx. or more formally known as capital expenditures. CapEx are those expensive big ticket items that need to be replaced every so often, but not every month or year. This could include things like roofs, appliances, driveways, sidewalks, plumbing, or electrical systems, or any other large budget item you may have that does not occur enough to be easily accounted for. The older your property is, the more likely your expenses will be higher. Like things like galvanized pipes. They can corrode and create ongoing and regular plumbing issues. Older electrical systems that have not been upgraded can also have problems, can even cause fires. Now, the high costs of plumbers and electricians can seriously cut into your bottom line. And that's where you have to kind of assess, is it worth it for me to replace my entire electrical system or my entire plumbing system, or do I just keep paying the price even though it goes up each year? Not to mention things like water damaged areas of your property, or maybe settlement or foundation issues. That's why inspectors and inspections are so important before you buy your properties. That's got to be part of your due diligence, and you've got to get good inspectors in there. And don't miss things like sewer lines. Okay, you got to pay a little extra for it, but for the $100 or whatever extra, it's worth it to have them. They take this little a little camera, and it goes down into your sewage, and it goes down around the corners, and you know, you can see if there are roots in there from trees and other things. You want to check those things out. Another way to think of CapEx too is, for example, you know, and this is how it can impact your bottom line. If you were to earn, let's say, maybe you've got $100 a month in cash flow that you earn on your property, which is not unheard of. And a lot of people, single family homes especially and stuff, or it's per door if it's an apartment, that's a pretty common amount. So you figure for a house, let's say it's $100 per month in cash flow, that's over 10 years, that would be $12,000, okay? But then all of a sudden you need a new roof and it costs you $12,000. What did you really accomplish in those 10 years? Okay, your entire profit is gone. Now, hopefully the value has increased during that time and there, you've always got that appreciation. But, you know, we're not buying as old dogs. We're not buying for appreciation. It's like icing on the cake, but we're buying for cash flow. So we want to know that we've got that consistent cash flow coming in. And if you've got big CapEx expenses cutting into it, then that can really hurt you. So, you know, how do you plan for CapEx? Well, you can estimate, you know, it's difficult to estimate, but it depends on a lot of different factors, such as the condition, the age, and the property type. Your investment property might be a 3,000 square foot single family home built in 2005. Or if it's like me, you've got a duplex built in 1900 that hasn't been updated in 30 years. Now, is the CapEx going to be the same? Of course not. No, the 2005 is probably going to be very little in terms of CapEx. The older property has all kinds of little surprises in it. There's no single CapEx number you should stick to. Percentages are going to vary from place to place and property age to property age, depending on the type of property and where you're located. So you can sit down and estimate the lifespan of how many years a roof will last. I mean, that's kind of a pretty good guess. And you could find out locally, you know, what a roof normally lasts in that area. How many years is left on an appliance, the condition of your plumbing, new driveway costs, and so on. And then you can divide that out by the number of years. Okay. So you've got something to do, let's say, it's a big ticket item that you may have to replace it within 20 years. So, you know, if you did this on a spreadsheet, for example, you have all these columns, and the first column would be the CapEx item, which could be your driveway, your water heater, whatever it is. They go into that first column. The next one is total replacement cost. If you had to buy a new driveway or a new water heater, okay, how much would that be? Then you got the lifespan. How long do you think it'll last? And then you have the cost per year, next column, and the final cost is the cost per month, okay? When you take the, when you, you know, complete all the columns and they go across, the last one, the cost per month, is what you add up after you've divided into the others, right? So you've got the lifespan, you divide it by year, then you divide it by month, and you know how much you should be setting aside each month to replace that item. Okay, however, there are limitations to this kind of approach. You know, the chart tends to assume that everything was brand new when the property was purchased. That's not always the case. You know, a lot of times you just kind of get what you got when you buy it. What if the plumbing only has a few years left, right? What if the paint is peeling or the property needs new paint next year? What if the appliances are 30 years old? Although the average of the monthly amount might be due over the long run, what are your would be your immediate concerns? If starting today you only saved that much each month, and then let's say your total is, you know, I've got to set aside $200 a month, you know, for replacement costs for these CapEx items, but all of a sudden I get hit with a $5,000 bill for a new furnace, for example. Okay. Now I didn't have that money set aside. I haven't put enough aside yet for that. So how do you deal with that? It's also important to, you know, to take an inventory of what will, you know, what you may need sooner than later, and try to make sure that you've got a strong argument for sort of a good cash reserve. Everybody, when they buy a property, needs to have cash reserves that are there for emergency purposes, whether it's vacancies or whether it is a replacement of things, high ticket items like CapEx. Things don't always break down evenly. So you also need to know your regular operating costs too. When it comes to rental properties, there are two kinds of expenses, fixed and variable. Now, fixed expenses may not be fixed in the sense that they will be the same every month. Things like water, sewer, trash pickup, and lawn care. They can vary from month to month, but they are fixed, and that, you know, you're generally going to be paying something for that each month. My exception might be something like if you have a lawn and you're in a snow area, you're not going to worry about lawn care, but you might replace that with snow shoveling or salt or whatever you use to deal with the snow. All right. Fixed expenses for a rental property include any utility you cover, rental property insurance, mortgage payments, and property taxes. Okay. They can also, now those would be pretty set for the most part, unless you have a mortgage payment that fluctuates, you know, based on interest rates and so forth. But they can also include things like HOA fees, special assessments, and property management fees. If you choose not to use a property management company, you should still kind of include that amount, I would say, like a 10% into your budget, because, you know, there's something to be said for your time too, and that's going to factor as well. Variable expenses tend to be those expenses that you can't plan for. These include minor repairs as well as property's vacancy rate or the percentage of time it sits empty each year. That can also include the expenses associated for the turnover of a unit. And I mentioned that at the beginning of the show that, you know, turnovers can be real expensive if you don't budget for them, and you need to plan and have that money factored in. And then, you know, you have things like paint, cleaning, carpets, and so forth. And of course, variable expenses also include, you know, some of the big expensive improvements that you'll need to make to maintain that property. You won't need to call in some local roofers to replace your rental property's roof every year, but you will need to do it once in a while. Or things like replacing the condenser or an air conditioner system or a furnace. These are all known as capital expenditures, as we mentioned earlier. You also have those expenses too, you know, cleaning out gutters, which you might not always budget for, but it's going to cost somebody either time or money to clean the gutters on the third floor of your building or what have you. Those are things, changing out the filters and your heaters and your air conditioners and that kind of thing. Good maintenance will allow things to last longer. Because I'm an out-of-state investor from Southern California, so when I first started investing things like in places like Atlanta, Memphis, and Indianapolis, I didn't even know, for example, what a boiler was, okay, let alone how much one cost. I also knew nothing about issues associated with basements, things like leaks and mold and other issues that can happen with basements, nor you know, how to budget for things like salt and snow shoveling during the winters. I had to learn all that as an out-of-state investor, and I'm still, you know, finding out about new little things that happen in other states that don't happen here. set your repair and maintenance budget too, which is key. So in general, we use the what's called the 50% rule. And some people hate the 50% rule. I try to keep my properties less than 50% in terms of your basic ongoing expenses. But many landlords use the 50% rule because it's a way of sort of estimating, as also you're assessing the value of a property to look at those fixed and variable expenses. And so that if you're 50% allocated for regular expenses, then what's the other 50% go to? And that's considered, you know, the things like mortgage payments, property tax, insurance, and whatever's left over in that is, of course, going to be your profit. Some landlords pocket the cash flow or use it to pay off mortgages faster in terms of their cash flow, or they use it to invest in additional properties. But some of us old dogs, we just want to use that cash flow just to, you know, cover our monthly expenses. So you've got to kind of factor those things in. Another strategy, mainly for those who are not dependent on the cash flow, if they want to, is to save all the cash flow towards future repairs. If you're just starting out, this may be a good strategy, at least until you've saved up enough of a cushion to protect yourself financially in case your rental property needs something big. Another rule of thumb that you might want to be aware of for budgeting for big repairs is your rental property is to set aside 2 or 3% of the property's value each year toward the cost of future maintenance. So if the home is worth, let's say, $200,000, you might save $2,000 a year towards maintenance and repairs. This averages out to about $166 a month. Now, many landlords combine one of these budgeting strategies with the home equity line of credit on the property. It's sort of a valuable financial tool that can help you fit the expenses or at least cover those expenses and to keep your property maintained and try to get it to fit within your budget. The issue is with, you know, a line of credit, like using credit cards or anything else, yeah, it can give you wiggle room when you don't have the funds to cover an expense that needs to be addressed immediately. But you can rack up some big debt if you don't take care of that right away and pay it off right away. So you've kind of built those allowances in. And, you know, sometimes categories like other become very important to you, too, is that you allow that money to build up somewhere until you do need it. Because that debt that you could, you know, or those expenses that you're not expecting can really impact your bottom line. You know, budgeting for big repairs to a rental property can be overwhelming, it seems, at times. But if you want to succeed as a landlord, you have to do it. And you need to be able to master that. With smart budgeting, a healthy reserve account, line of credit, as well as a backup and an attention to detail, you should be able to cover the cost of any repairs or improvements your property needs. Over the years, you'll get better and better at it so that you're less tapping into emergency funds. And you're better at building up the reserves you need to be able to cover those unexpected capital expenses. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you are just going to look for that episode entitled Investors' Biggest Mistakes Number 2. Not budgeting for major capital expenses. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.